TV Corner.
Okay, guys, welcome to another Film Core Reviews TV Corner Game of Thrones podcast. We're doing season 7, episode 5, Eastwatch. This week I have with me TJ and Lulu.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Hi, and awesome. Unfortunately, last week we didn't have a podcast due to some technical difficulties, but no worries, we are back this week with an equally, I think, exciting episode. I mean, there wasn't a field of fire, but there was a field of secrets revealed.
They burned too, man, you know, for this episode, so
yeah. Yeah, there was some post-field of fire, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, speaking of fire, let's start with some toasty Tarleys. Bronn and Jaime managed to escape Dany's clutches through Lake Ex Machina. I was pretty surprised by that, to be honest. I expected there to be some sort of scouts, but whatever. Dany asked the rest of the surviving Lannister soldiers to bend the knee, and Randall Tarly and Dickon Tarly refuse, which results in them becoming Dragon Barbecue. I mean, did you guys agree with Dany's decision, or were you on Tyrion's side? Because Tyrion was like, "Don't, please don't do this."
I think she said what she was going to do. She can't look weak, and this was the only way. And I think Tyrion is a little too soft for this, and I don't know.
Yeah, I understand that she has to be strong and can't look weak. I think she may have jumped the gun in giving that, like, that setup to that question, you know, like, bend the knee or die. I mean, I feel like her overall tactic right now is to win hearts and minds, or at least that's what it was out in the East. And if she's trying to convince some people that she's not her father, I mean, maybe beheading would have been a little more, you know, normal to them, and they would, but to burn them to a crisp, father and son together staying there, I thought it was a little harsh.
I know there's reservations because her dad was a mad king, and he himself was, you know,
mad.
Yeah, mad and crazy. So they're like, oh shit, is this genetic? Are we dealing with another mad, crazy person? Can she be controlled? I think that in that situation, she had no other way. Like, and she can't look weak amongst the other people that, you know, were already bowing down to her, so.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I feel like at first, after her speech, people were like, and then, you know, once Drogon was, like, in the background roaring, they're like, actually, we'll just go ahead and pop a squat. I think that, I mean, this kind of mirrors what Ned did in season 1, episode 1, the pilot, where he finds a Night's Watch deserter, and he executes him. And basically, John asks him, I think it was actually Rob who asked him about it, like, you know, if you serve the sentence, you need to swing the sword. And basically, the common law is, if you're a traitor, you're often sentenced to death. I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, she gave them a choice. They had plenty of time to change their minds, and it is what it is. Well, yeah, to be honest, there definitely did need to be the dragon element, to be fair. It seems kind of wasteful of the dragon card. You can't be throwing Drogon on every task, you know? Like, Drogon, yeah, I can't open this jar of pickles. With swords, like, you know?
Chop the heads, like everybody else.
Drogon wants to play. He wants to burn
He
some
played
people.
So much, he though. That. He burned, like, hundreds of people. I get it. She's like mother of dragons. That's fantastic. But like, and I support her still. But she's on a slippery slope to try to ruling through fear as opposed to like having the people on her side. I mean, these were Lannister men. So to say, you know, bend the knee or die. I mean, why even make the speech in the first place? That I'm not my father. You know, I'm here to. It just seemed like it was a non-decision,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, basically, I'm going to do some stuff that's a lot like my dad, but trust me, I'm not my dad.
I'm not my dad, technically.
I think that there's no way of her to, it's a losing situation either way, because I think that even if she didn't like set her dragons, or if she chose to do beheading or whatever, they would still not bend the knee to her because of the Dothrakian army that they see themselves as like superior to, like, or so I don't know. I think, yeah, I just find that she was stuck in a situation, and I don't think that no, like however she phrased it or presented it, they would still not be very willing to be her
her subject, basically, right?
Her subject, yeah.
Well, speaking of people who are just like their fathers, we have Jaime breaking the bad news to Cersei in King's Landing. Well, I don't know if it's bad news, more neutral news. The gold already made it to King's Landing. They already have the money to employ sellswords. What sucks is that they lost so many men. Jaime tries to stress to her, like, hey, if this is one dragon, and she wasn't really trying that hard. So imagine what she could do if all three of them were at her back and she was actually trying to destroy us, you know? If anything, this is more of a warning. But Cersei's like, listen, dude, bro, we got this. And also, I got a bun in the oven.
Yeah. And they'll know you're the father. Wait.
I don't know if that was supposed to be heartwarming, but, like, honestly, it wasn't very heartwarming for me. Like, I just feel bad for this kid coming into situation.
I also, like, they did a very, like, weird hug where she's like, oh, come over here. This is an awesome moment. And she's like, don't you ever fucking fuck me over again. Like, it was really awkward.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta mix those in together. Like, sexuality and threat.
I mean, also, part of that threat was because that he agreed to meet with Tyrion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I guess that's considered treason to meet with. I mean, he's the general, so I guess he would need the queen's permission to. He would need their. Yeah. Are you going to punish Bronn? Do you think she's going to actually make him punish Bronn?
I actually thought the next shot was going to be like Bronn in a cell somewhere, to be honest. But I don't think so. I think Bronn kind of already hinted at, like, listen, if dragons come back again, I will not be here. Do not count on me. I am not your guy. So I'm pretty sure Bronn's going to be out there pretty soon. Like, yeah.
I'm glad he's
honest. Be up front. That's what it's all about. But speaking of the people who got Tyrion to meet Jaime, I guess there's really nothing to say about their whole meeting. Like, a little emotional. He's saying, hey, we got White Walkers coming. We'll bring one to show you. But what's even more interesting is the side quest that Sir Davos goes on, which is takes him to Flea Bottom to find, oh my God, I was so excited, Gendry, finally.
Yeah, I've been waiting for him for 3 seasons now.
I like that they threw in that little rowing joke, too.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. Little shout out to people out there. It was good. Yeah, I thought it was really great to see Gendry again. I thought his storyline was really cut short in what happened earlier with him. And I thought he was going to be an interesting development. So this is cool that they've, you know, written him back in after he's been in hiding in King's Landing.
the most obvious witness protection program. Just stay where you were. No one's going to think to look here.
Yeah, exactly.
What I also really loved was also the nod to his father, Robert, with, like, having the Warhammer. That was awesome. Also, when, Dallas is like, hey, I need to ask you to come with me. And he's like, yeah, cool, let's go. I already got my shit packed. I was like, awesome. Yeah.
He had a go bag.
I wonder if he has, like, an intern to run that shop while he's gone. I don't know. But
right? He seemed to
be like the middle of a job. Like, someone's going to be really upset later. Paid in advance.
Right.
And we also get that awesome scene of him actually using the Warhammer as they're trying to escape from King's Landing through the back door or back shore.
I knew they wouldn't get away with just, like, they were so close.
I Tyrion was like, walks over the hill. Duck down.
Hey, drop, lay down. You're so tiny. You could totally hide. Just jump behind a small rock. Like, you'll be fine.
If he was real. Well, that's the one time he really should use his work to, you know, use it to his advantage. I honestly thought it was funny how he's just like, I guess I'm just going to try to walk past him really fast. Like, that was also, like, plan B, just keep going.
Right. I'm just a little man. Don't even look at me.
Yeah, and before we leave King's Landing, do you guys have any predictions for the Cersei-Danny meetup?
I think they're going to play along for a little bit, you know, and somehow Cersei's going to backstab her. I don't know what her father, like, when she says, I'll do it the father's way mean, like, necessarily, is it?
Like, are we thinking, like, Red Wedding? Yeah. Or are we thinking, like...
Yeah, I don't know if I trust Cersei to have a peaceful meeting, but I think it should be interesting seeing just as Cersei doesn't have, like, any extremely personal reasons to hate Dani the way she does with all of her.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Like, she just kind of like, this person's doing the same thing I'm doing, you know, just trying to maintain power. So like, maybe they can find common ground on the fact that nobody's, or Dani hasn't murdered any of Cersei's family.
Well, she did murder a lot of Lannisters just now, but like distant cousins, no one close to her.
Yeah.
Well, I think if anything, more of that anger definitely would be directed at Tyrion, not directly at Dani. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's probably the most personal thing she has with Dani, is that Tyrion is her hand.
I mean, I don't, you know, so. I mean, I feel like if Cersei tried to pull anything, though, 90% chance of just backfiring. I don't know. I mean, at this point, I think Dani's pretty untouchable, at least until the final season. So if they meet the next two episodes, mm-hmm. I'm not going to worry about anything happening to Dani. Just more about it backfiring on Cersei.
Okay.
And speaking of Dani, let's go back into Dragonstone, where Jon pets Drogon. And it was real cute, y'all.
Yeah, he's the father of dragons.
Dragon daddy.
Dragon daddy.
Dragon daddy.
Yeah, she needed the daddy for those dragons, and she's gonna, that's Jon. I feel like that just solidifies that they're meant to be together, you know, to rule the Seven Kingdoms together.
Mm. Yeah, and she was definitely making some eyes at him. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Until like Ser Jorah.
Yeah, I wasn't the only one who might have sensed that crush.
Yeah, but
right?
Then your Ser Jorah showed up and was like real awkward for Jon.
I thought she was feeling a little pissed off after he, like, said, you know, kind of made a crack joke about how they're not beautiful.
Well, yeah, I mean, terrifying. I think she expects that to be fair. Like, you know, come on.
It's like telling someone they have an ugly baby, except these are giant, terrifying
dragons.
Look,
some
dragons,
people have some ugly babies
lizard,
out there.
So
needs just
it makes
kind
of sense.
Not everyone starts off great, you know, you got to work your way up,
yeah.
You know?
I think the bond of, or the trust showed by the dragons is like a Targaryen red flag. So this kind of was an interesting scene to me because it harkens back to when Tyrion was able to reach out and like gain that first touch with the dragons. I mean,
and Dany wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Like in this instance, at least Dany was there, like to kind of supervise the interaction. Whereas Tyrion's just like in a hole with these already pissed off dragons.
Yeah, it was interesting. Those previous theories about Tyrion's Targaryen heritage. Kind of gain more credibility.
I find
that scene
weird that Dany even allowed that interaction. Like, you have no idea.
Well, it's the blood bond, you know? It's like her and Drogon are a little connected, so he can kind of tell, like, who's cool and who's not. So, if it were like a complete stranger, I don't know, but I think she kind of felt like it would be okay. Plus, maybe he approached Jon in a way that seemed unique. Mm-hmm.
I was more surprised at Jon even trying to
pet
the dragon.
Yeah, I wouldn't be petting no dragon.
It looked like he was just like trying to stand his ground. I'm not going to back down from this dragon. But then he's like, I'm going to touch this dragon's face.
Yeah,
cool.
I took the glove off.
Very interesting.
Raw-handed it. Mm-hmm. Also, speaking of first meetings, Gendry and Jon meet and become
Yeah, that was a cute interaction.
Instant bros. Yeah, so cute. It really,
dude. Our dads are bros. We're both a much better bastard pair than
Ramsay. <the other. laughs>
Yeah,
the last one. Yeah, you need somebody to talk to.
Yeah, having really, really cool dads. Like, to be honest, I mean, Robert kind of playing like it. Jon needs a companion who's kind of on his level.
And he's like best friends with his sister Arya.
Oh yeah, he doesn't even know that yet. They did not mention that. That is actually awesome. I forgot about that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he's already in with the family. But
there's some Arya Gendry wedding predictions out there.
I know. I'm kind of like, you got like the internet is sick a little bit. I'm just thinking, she's.
Welcome to the internet. You must be.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the age difference. I mean, back then it wasn't that weird. I'm not saying they have to get married like tomorrow, but you know, like a 10 year down the line kind of setup. I don't know.
I know. Yeah, it's a nice setup.
Arya's gonna need some strong therapy before I think she's gonna be able to marry anybody or trust people.
That's
again.
Absolutely true. Well, let's move into the conversation that Varys and Tyrion have, drinking wine. Basically, they're saying that it's okay to be around people that are doing bad things if you're not the person doing it. And I think that really parallels what's going on right now, where I feel like it's easy to feel like you're not complicit in something if you're not directly doing the action. I don't know. Mm-hmm. If anything, there's been some theories about Varys kind of being maybe a spy for Cersei or not completely being on Dany's side. And if anything, this speech kind of made me feel, I don't know, is Varys actually all in?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like he's ready to toss her out as soon as, you know, as soon as they feel like they lost control of her.
Yeah.
I'm still in Varys' corner. I thought this conversation was more like he's saying that he's the fact that they're not the ones doing it, it doesn't help abate the guilt. Because he seemed to be like saying when the Mad King was burning people alive in the halls and people were screaming, he had to keep telling himself that even though he knows he probably didn't believe it because he was the one bringing those people out. You know, he was the one with his little birds out there catching those people and bringing them in, you know. So I felt it was more of like a confessional, like, yeah, I know exactly what you're going through. We've got to find a way to make Dany listen if we want to, you know, stop this turning into something terrible.
Oh, I was. I see how this was just a moment they were talking about where, you know, Varys is just relating to Tyrion on that level. But I think they're being a little, I don't want to say hysterical, but I don't think her actions are yet mad. I think they're just jumping the gun, and I know it's because of her.
She's
history.
A woman, because she's a woman. I swear. And because she's a woman,
and she never grew up in Westeros. You know, I think there's a lot of things that are not just, you know, burning, like that one little thing that she did. Maybe. Yeah, I think they just ultimately want control, but I don't think their ways are gonna be what are gonna be the successful way of getting what they really want. I think that in this world, you need to use force and.
Yeah, I mean, and employ restraint. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think she has restraint, and I think.
So. John gets a raven from Winterfell saying, guess what, Arya's home, and Bronn just got a vision that the Night King is getting real close to Eastwatch. At this point, John's like, listen, we really don't have time for any of this throne stuff. We just need to team up and you guys can work this out later. Dany's a little pissed, but is like, you might be right. How are we going to convince Cersei? They're like, well, we got to do some sort of like Night Walker zombie show and tell and prove to her that they're actually out there. To do
that's
that,
so easy.
To do that, we got to catch one and bring it back. And basically the entire...
Yeah, a little bit of...
They send the A squad out to go retrieve one, which is Ser Jorah.
So they have that one zombie that kind of, like, is on their side that isn't, like, full on...
You're talking about Cold Hands? He's not a full walker.
I don't think he's going to be enough to prove anything. He's going to be like, why you have this weird-looking dude in front of my face? That's going to be, like, the end of that.
It's like, we could...
He's got anemia. He's just anemic. He's not really dead.
Okay. I think this is a solid plan. I mean, I think it's Cersei isn't very reasonable, but at least, I mean, if Jaime sees it and other people within King's Landing see it, then hopefully that'll turn the tide.
Yeah, I just feel like, okay, it is a good plan, but from the visions that, you know, from Bran shows us, it seems like they all are in the herd, so... It will be, like, super difficult just to
get one
of those
without
being attacked by all of them. Like, it's not like there's one standing in the corner just pissing or something. Like,
yeah. I think, I mean, I'm like, isn't it a better idea to just, like, send a lesser dragon, go just snatch one and just fly it back? That seems like a better idea, but...
Yeah. Can Bronn control a... Oh, no, I guess he wouldn't be able to control a dragon.
Maybe. He hasn't tried.
Yeah, you're right. He hasn't tried. Let's get him...
That's true.
...trying.
Drone pilot? Drone dragon?
Yeah, basically. You need a drone.
This is good, though. I think the plan is solid. Like, habeas corpus, produce a body. You know, like, if you... A jarring sight is it.
Old Town... Long story short, the Maesters also get the same letter that John's been sending out, that White Walkers are coming. We need you to announce it, make it official, declare a state of emergency so we can get those resources. They're like, nah, this sounds like a ploy. Which, to be fair, it does. It, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, come help us, please, in the north. We need you. Not, you know, when Danny conveniently has just arrived.
Yeah, that is kind of a... that's a reasonable doubt that they have. Although, at this point, it's not helping anything because they're doubting the truth and the stakes are high.
Yeah. And Gilly mistakenly finds the biggest piece of information this entire fucking series. Essentially, she finds out that a maester, Maynard, annulled the marriage between Prince Rhaegar and Elia Martell, and he was remarried to who we can assume was Lyanna Stark, which means Jon is not a bastard, is actually a legit Targaryen, and actually, well, it's debatable, but he has a stronger claim to the throne than Dany. But of course, no one knows this except for us.
So the only people who know this are Bran and
Well, Gilly doesn't even know. Gilly couldn't even say Rhaegar's name right, anybody. So she doesn't really know who it applies to. Bran, I think, knows that Jon is Lyanna's son, but I don't know how much other knowledge he has about who the father is and all the marriage technicalities going along with it. Basically, I don't think we're going to... Jon's not going to find out until the next season, to be totally honest. I'm trying to forget about it at this point.
And by then, it'll be too late. They'll be in a loving relationship, and they won't be able to overlook their...
It doesn't really matter with uncles and aunts, right? Oh,
well. I mean, all right.
Nephews.
Nephews and
to
aunts,
be honest,
yeah, maybe
I don't care. Like, I'm just gonna... Well, moving along, let's go into Winterfell. Sansa's still running the show in Jon's absence, but Arya is sort of doubting her loyalty to him and thinks Sansa might be a little opportunistic should Jon not come back. Which, I mean, it's something I'm sure she thought about, given that that is a real possibility and it does need to be considered. But
it just sucks that Littlefinger is the one that putting that idea in her head, you know, too.
Well, like, yeah, well, let's go. Let's rewind a little bit. They're already bickering again, and she has these doubts about Sansa. Arya starts to spy on Littlefinger, naturally. Mm-hmm. And, oh my god, talk about a surprise. I thought Arya was really getting the jump on Littlefinger, but that last scene with him, like, in the shadows, oh my god. He's got a few tricks left up his sleeve.
Yeah. He hit it in a place that he knew she'd find. He knew she'd find it in the mattress? Like, that's pretty... That's,
like,
that's
oh no, don't look in the hole that I've cut open on the side for you. Did you guys happen to see what the scroll said that she opened?
Yes. I had to Google it because that handwriting...
Yeah, that was pretty legible. But
yeah.
It was extravagant.
Yeah, my eyes are not trained for that old English. But yeah, it's just about... It's like goes back to season two, right? She's saying how... She's kind of goes back to Joffrey and how she thinks he's like a good ruler, which is not true. And clearly she was told to write that, like, with a knife behind her back or however they threatened her with.
Well, yeah. So Cersei coerced her into writing that letter saying that, hey, Rob, our dad's been arrested. Robert is dead. Oh, my God. I love Joffrey so much. Can you just come over here and be friends? And... When they first got the letter, Maester Luwin right away was like, Sansa didn't write this. This is some bullshit. You shouldn't believe it. But Arya doesn't really have that sort of... She doesn't know Sansa that well. She doesn't know the situation. So as a person just seeing this years later, it does look pretty incriminating.
But that's because Arya just... I guess she never let go of the grudge of their childhood. That... They had a rivalry and she never let it go, and that's why, like, last episode I felt like their reunion was so tense. I was like, wow, after so many years, you know, you thinking your family is dead and you're still kind of, you know.
It does definitely feel like Arya's still trying to catch her, like, sister on some sneaky sister stuff when this is, like, serious, you know? Like, you didn't catch her sneaking out last night. Like, are you trying to accuse her of, like, getting your father killed? Like, where are you going with this?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Arya, and like the way how Arya was like, I know you're thinking it right now. I was like, that is some tricky ass shit. You know, like, you're just like, I don't know. It's like, it's, I don't know, it's very manipulative. Like, it doesn't mean anything if she's thinking it. She's not really doing anything. And having a thought is not incriminating.
Yeah. I mean, is it just me? Is it just me, or is Arya super creepy? Or actually super creepy to Sansa? Like, her just jump cutting from her to standing in corners over and over again.
Arya's now, like, it's like Arya knows how to be a... She just, like, she learned how to be, like, that assassin, so she can't turn it off ever. Can you just be normal for 2 seconds? Like, instead of trying to investigate shit, instead of trying to, like, sneak around and all the time? Like, Jesus. Between her and Bran, it's just, like, just stop. Everyone's just doing too much, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think this is clearly like a setup from Littlefinger, where he's trying to pit Starks against each other. And like, I don't think Sansa knows anything about this. He put on a little show saying, Lady Sansa, you know, appreciates your service. He's putting on a show for Arya, clearly, by the end of the scene. We knew that. So I think Littlefinger is crossing a line, and he's going to catch that little dagger.
Catch the D.
Very soon.
I was gonna say, I really think Sansa is gonna be the one that's gonna kill Littlefinger, or should kill Littlefinger.
I would actually love if for some reason Sansa does kill Littlefinger. Like, maybe he attacks Arya, or it looks like he's gonna attack Bran, and she like reacts to try and save one of them and accidentally like stabs him.
Yeah, accidentally, air quotes.
Well, you know, she already accidentally pushed, no, that was him who pushed her aunt Lysa through the moon door, so maybe she'll push him through a window. I don't know, but we still got 2 more episodes of season, so I mean, Littlefinger obviously still has a few more tricks up his sleeve. I'm all for them. I want to see all of it. I want him to go out with a bang.
You have a weird crush on Littlefinger.
He's got that, you know, like creepy dad vibe, you know? He doesn't love that.
He sounds like...
Yeah, I can see how that's incredibly sexy.
He's so slimy and so gross. I love it.
Oh, God.
Well, let's keep going north to the wall. Team John arrives at Eastwatch. They meet up with the Hound and Beric Dondarrion. Basically, if you don't know this, Gendry hates Beric Dondarrion because the Brotherhood Without Banners picked him and Arya and Hawkeye up. And he's the reason that Gendry got sex tortured by Melisandre, if you guys remember that.
I don't know. I think Gendry it was nothing. What did she really do? I mean, she burned the little girl alive. He got off lucky. All he did was get laid.
Yeah. Those are hickeys. Right?
Like, there was sex torture.
So you know, people pay for that.
He knew the safe words. So, he could have used them.
Yeah.
So now we've got our A-team formed, headed up. They're going north of the wall. I am really terrified. We've got like our best fighters going, but also someone's going to die for sure.
Oh my goodness. Who should we bet on? Like,
dude, the Hound, done. I'm saying
the Hound? You're done? Okay, I was going to say Gendry.
No, they're not going to kill him.
I'm hoping. I'm hoping Beric Dondarrion dies, but then gets resurrected. But he's like a kind of like a spy in the Dead Army, because like nobody knows that he's not actually dead. But I'm really excited for this little team up.
I am very excited. I am. Oh my god! How likely do you think Dany's going to show up with the dragon?
Oh my goodness! I hope she does.
It looks like from. It looks like from the little episode preview that things are not going to go exactly according to plan, or not as, you know, cut and dry as it should be. And they're going to end up like catching one on the run and, you know.
Well, what is their plan to get back? Okay, so you attract them. They start running towards you. You snatch one. Where do you go? You want to wait for the gate to open? Are you jumping to a boat? Like, what is the plan? Once you get it, you got to get out of there really quickly. So,
right.
Yeah.
And those things run fast. And it seems like they're a hive mind. So bringing one, because, you know, the way they fought when they battled them north of the wall, like they work as a hive mind. So it might be even dangerous.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, there's no one that's like just chilling and like, oh shit, you know, like I went there in the corner and now I'm all alone and an easy target. Like, all, there are no easy target in this quest. It's,
I just, I really don't know how they're gonna like get to the herd and then get back from the herd. Like, they're just too smart. Like, if this is like an actual zombie situation, like The Walking Dead, I would say, yeah, that's, you could do that. But like this, I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, they're a hive mind. They're all really connected. There's a really smart leader. Like, they, I don't know. It's not looking good.
Yeah.
It's just not looking good.
The only way, I feel like, is Dany shows up with her dragon and gives them backup and flies them all out of there.
Or flies. You know. What if everyone except for John lives? Like, what if John is like, help me, Drogon, and Drogon, like, hears the Targaryen call and just, like, comes to rescue him?
Ah, yeah, probably. That's a good call. You know, like...
Yeah, maybe he set up that.
Or wait. What about this? Hold up. What if they actually don't get one? One of them dies, and that's how they bring one of them back. Like, someone makes it into the.
Oh, they just yeah.
That's a really good one.
The Hound carries a dead body,
or maybe
back
it's the Hound, and he's undead, and the mountain's undead. That'd be fucking crazy. We got two undead Clegane.
Oh yeah, undead brothers fighting it out. I wonder if they'll still have that brotherhood, that brother rebel. That
I mean, yeah, that actually maybe thing. No, that sounds more possible. Yeah, but then honestly, they could have just like, listen, we should just kill someone now and save ourselves the journey to find the other actual ones.
I'm really hoping for a bottle episode for this little quest. Like, this excursion needs to be the entire episode. We've had a lot of big episodes over this season, so it's going to be nice, kind of refreshing to just not something that changes up what's going on in the plot too much, not some crazy plot points, but like all, but just like a little adventure where we don't have to worry about what's going on in the Seven Kingdoms, because honestly this is the most important
thing right now. Like, we have been just like barreling through, people have been fucking teleporting to each location at this point, like we're just getting through too fast.
I know.
It's crazy.
The teleportation.
So I'm really hoping, this is going to be like just them. We might get maybe some more Winterfell stuff, like maybe with Bran or something. But I think, or if for some reason Dany comes, we might get some Dragonstone. I don't know. But I think we're definitely just going to spend most of our time up there in Eastwatch. And then maybe on the finale episode, we'll figure out what's going on at Castle Rock, because I really want to know what's going on with the Unsullied.
True. Yeah, they're still over there. What are they, like, sieged right now? Landlocked?
Yeah, they're
the,
just chilling, I guess, at this point, really. I don't know.
Right. Also, no Euron this episode, which was kind of a bummer, because I really like when he's on the screen. He's just fun to watch, but...
Yeah, actually, I think our final episode is probably going to be, like, what's going on with Euron and Yara. It's rumored that, actually, he has her on the Silence, which is his ship, which is going to be fucking badass. We get to see it. Basically, it's armed by mutes. Like, he cuts out these guys' tongues when they work on his ship. That's why they call it the Silence.
Oh,
and
my God.
And the deck is, like, painted red to, like, cover all the blood stains. It's fucking crazy.
Oh.
It's so sick. So, hopefully we'll get that in the last episode. But this next episode will just be all about the North.
For sure.
Excited, too.
I'm really excited.
Well, thank you guys so much for jumping on this podcast with me this week. I'm super stoked. I'm really sad because we only have two more to go, but, you know, take what you're given.
Don't even talk about it. Okay, I'll pump the brakes. Pretend to. Pretty pumped.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you guys. Catch you next week.